Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Nation. Shalom, listeners. I am Antajaneer Ben Israel. This is Come Out of Her, My People Outreach Program on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 7th, and our topic is From Prophets and Kings to Bond Servants and Felons. That opening song was Freedom by the late Richie Haven, excuse me. And that is one of our Aboriginal brothers of the tribe of Gad, as his father was Blackfoot Indian. At this time, I'd like to introduce our dear officer, Robert Ben Israel, who will start us off with some current events. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, brother. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ta-da-ot.
Okay. We'll start off with,
well, as usual, I'd like to state that what we try to do here with these particular calls and my current events is try to pretty much intertwine with each other. The particular article that I selected is going to intertwine with this particular topic that we're going to present to the relatives. So it's entitled Fat Joe Sentenced to Prison for Failing to Pay Taxes. And it reads, the rapper Fat Joe was sentenced to 4 months in prison on Monday in federal court in Newark for failing to pay his taxes. The United States Attorney's Office for New Jersey said, Fat Joe, whose real name is Joseph Cartagena, pleaded guilty in December for failing to pay taxes on more than $1 million of income he earned between 2007 and 2010. Mr. Cartagena, 42, of the South Bronx, came from the bruising New York City hip-hop scene in the early 90s and developed a reputation as a workman-like rapper with heart. Breaking out with the song Flo Joe in 1993, his hits include Lean Back, which topped the Billboard Singles Chart 2004, and What's Love, which topped the number two, which reached the number two on the chart in 2001. Federal prosecutors said he failed to pay about $700,000 in taxes on earnings of $3.3 million between 2007 and 2010. Though he lives in Miami Beach, Mr. Cartagena was prosecuted in New Jersey because he owns corporations based in Somerville from which he received income, including Terror Squad Productions Incorporated and Miramar Music Touring Incorporated. Federal authorities in New Jersey have been going after musicians on tax evasion charges in recent months. Lauren Hill was sentenced to 3 months in prison in early May for failing to pay taxes on about $1.8 million. 2 weeks later, the Internal Revenue Service placed a lien on property belonging to Mary J. Blige and her husband, charging they owed $3.4 million in back taxes. Now, once again, this particular article was actually last year, June 24th, 2003. And just basically, like I said in the beginning, these articles intertwine with the topic at hand. So some of these articles may be a little bit behind, but the point is supposed to be within the topic that we're presenting today. And we'll pretty much illustrate it with what we're going to be speaking on throughout the body of this particular show. So, moving along, there was another article that I came across that I felt as though could be tying into this particular topic. Memphis millionaire and drug kingpin sentenced to 9 life sentences for his cocaine trafficking empire. Craig Pettis was sentenced by U.S. District Judge Samuel Mays, who said Pettis' crimes were most serious he had ever seen. Pettis pleaded guilty in December 2009 to racketeering, money laundering, drug trafficking, and ordering the slayings of 4 men. He built a multi-state drug ring that operated from 1995 to 2008. Cocaine and marijuana were shipped from Mexico to Memphis in semi-trucks, then distributed for sale in Tennessee, Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, and North Carolina. The article reads, the leader of a violent Memphis-based drug organization that teamed, went down a little too far, with Mexico's Beltran Leyva cartel to distribute drugs throughout the South was sentenced to 9 life sentences in federal prison Thursday. Craig Pettis was sentenced by U.S. District Judge Samuel Mays, who said Pettis' crimes were the most serious he had ever seen. Pettis secretly pled guilty in December 2009 to racketeering, money laundering, drug trafficking, and ordering the slayings of 4 men he perceived as snitches or threats to the organization. His plea was not disclosed until February of 2011. Pettis built a multi-state drug ring that operated from 1995 to 2008. Cocaine and marijuana was shipped from Mexico to Memphis in semi-trucks, then distributed for sale in Tennessee, Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, and North Carolina.
Okay. Pettis fled to Mexico after his 2002 indictment. He was placed on a U.S. Marshals Service 15 Most Wanted list,
and his case was featured on the American Most Wanted television program before his capture in January of 2008. Two of Pettis' henchmen, cousins Clinton Lewis and Martin Lewis, were convicted in March 2012 of being enforcers for the organization. They were also sentenced to life in prison. About 70 witnesses testified, and 300 pieces of evidence were admitted during their trial, one of the largest federal drug trials ever held in Tennessee.
The Lewises are the only two members of the gang to go to trial. 30 other gang members pleaded guilty, with some receiving sentences of more than 30 years in prison. During the sentencing hearing, Mays called Pettis' crimes reprehensible. In all, Pettis received 9 life sentences plus more than 60 years in prison. He's not eligible for parole, though he can appeal these sentences. Mr. Pettis has committed more serious crimes than anyone I've sentenced, Mays said. Pettis made a brief statement during the sentencing hearing apologizing to the families of the victims. I apologize for the decisions I made in life. Petty said. The gang began as a group of teens selling drugs in the Riverside neighborhood, according to testimony. As they grew older, they sold more cocaine and marijuana and established stash houses throughout the area. They eventually built contacts with the Beltran Leyva drug organization in Mexico, which provided the cocaine that was shipped to Memphis in semi-trailers. Gang members met the trucks at area hotels and picked up the cocaine before breaking it up for distribution. Gang members bought jewelry, multiple homes, and vehicles with laundered drug profits, prosecutors said. They stole drugs from each other, organized kidnapping plots, and killed men suspected of being snitches. During the Lewis's trial, prosecutor David Pritchard said in his closing arguments that Pettis worked directly for Edgar Valdez Villarreal, a Texas-born man known as La Barbie. Valdez is suspected of using extreme violence as he tried to seize control of the Beltran Leyva cartel following the death of gang member Arturo Beltran Leyva. He was arrested in 2010. After fleeing to Mexico, Pettis gave orders to gang members via cell phone. He pleaded guilty to ordering the killings of Mario McNeil, Latrell Small, Mario Stewart, and Marcus Turner. Small was slain in August 2004, Stewart in March 2005, Turner was kidnapped and killed in September 2006, and McNeil was slain in March 2007. Turner's mother, Lucy Turner, attended the sentencing hearing. Her son was kidnapped and tortured after some of the organization's drugs went missing. His new body was found in a ditch in North Mississippi. Lucy Turner told Mays during the hearing that her granddaughter still talks about her father. She said the sentencing helped bring closure to her family. He has damaged so many lives, Turner said, standing just a few feet away from Pettis. U.S. Attorney Edward Stanton III said after the hearing that Pettis' gang members are believed to have killed more people than the 4 acknowledged by their leader. In December 2012, Pettis pleaded guilty to a separate charge of possessing a weapon while in federal prison in Memphis. And that's pretty much the article that I brought forth, the two articles I brought forth in regards to the topic at hand. And that's what I wanted to bring forth. And just letting you know, as the title, the description reads, that we're pretty much
now, in this day and time, we're pretty much glamorizing these particular, you know, felons, these particular drug dealers, stars, athletes, and things of that particular nature. And you come to find out that they're pretty much susceptible to the same things that you are. You all are.
However, the problem here that happens is that you brothers and sisters do glamorize these individuals. But we're going to bring forth some particular information to which may be a little bit more pertinent for the brothers and sisters. So I just brought forth that to the family, and I pass it back to you, brother. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you for that, sir. And today's topic, from prophets and kings to bond servants and felons. Now, I want you folks to notice that today we do not have any prophets or kings. We do have bondservants, which is another word for taxpayers, and we do have felons, which is another word for transgressors. According to the scriptures, sin is transgression of the law. So let's go into this a little deeper to see what these things really mean as far as prophets and kings to bond servants and felons. In ancient times, we were proud and respectful of our kings, as you all probably read or seen in the scriptures. Now, there's nothing wrong with paying homage to our leaders as long as it doesn't transform into idolatry. Like today, we have some people worshiping, honoring so-called messiahs, pharaohs, who consider themselves to be gods and even mythological so-called gods. Although it's a part of natural law for a unified body of people to have governmental and spiritual leaders, you see, kings and prophets are the ones who keep things in order. The kings make the laws after conferring with the high priests and or prophets, and after that, the law is passed. And if the people don't follow these laws, they're tried in a tribunal and punished accordingly. This structure is what maintains order and harmony in any civilized body of people. But if the leaders allow their ego to take over and begin to abuse their power and mistreat the people, this brings a breach of the obligation that all leaders have or are supposed to uphold to maintain their order. When those who have trust and faith in their leaders to be honest and righteous lose that trust because of those leaders no longer following the rules of the Most High or even the rules that they themselves have made, that leads to total chaos. Do you have any comments on that, brother?
Yes, sir, brother. Yeah, I mean, when you think about the word prophet and when you think about the word king, you know, etymologically, my apologies, brother. A prophet is pretty much a person who speaks for God, one who foretells, inspired, and is an inspired preacher, an interpreter, spokesman, especially of the gods, inspired preacher or teacher or instructor. A king who basically has a noble birth, a sovereign, a ruler, or chief executive magistrate of a state or nation. Also, he rules singularly over a whole all people, or has the highest executive order, but the office may be either hereditary or elective. Now, I do see brothers out here, for instance, myself, brothers via Facebook and things of that particular nature, self-appointing themselves these particular things. I have a few brothers on there that put king such and such, and I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, the brothers, it's really disturbing because some of the brothers will put maybe king, I'll just use an example, you know, not taking anybody particularly, like they'll mix out some Israelite names with Moors and or Egyptologists or thereof or some type of combination. And it's really disturbing because they really don't understand what it is in terms of what it is takes to become a king or prophet. You know what I mean? So kings become kings and prophets become prophets when they basically become properly acknowledged, like the brother said, by a true organic government. You know, you have to go through a school of higher learning to properly understand what a prophet entails. You know, it's pretty disturbing that the brothers are putting those particular labels on them when they haven't went through any particular institution of higher learning and are just self-proclaiming themselves to be kings. It takes a lot to be a king. You have to learn how to self-govern. You have to learn how to be able to, first of all, govern your homestead. Then you can be able to govern a particular
ruler or a particular area or whatever the case may be, or a specific territory. So what these brothers fail to understand is that they're kings, but they're bond servants, which is the particular problem that they're not understanding. You cannot be a bond servant and be a king at the same particular time. So it's very imperative to really get the terms understood, so that this way you don't confuse yourself. So like the brother has said, it's very important for you to understand properly what those terms mean. And that's what I'll add, brother. I yield.
Yes, sir, brother. Very good point. Ta-da for that, brother. Also, I wanted to add to what you were saying. It's so funny that they make themselves to be kings, but they're actually bond servants. And then the pharaohs back in the days, you know, not to dwell on Egyptologists or anything, but the pharaohs actually claim themselves to be gods. So as we see, even on the lowest level, the ego takes over and let them think that they're someone higher than they are. And then the pharaohs did that way back in ancient times also, and considered themselves to be gods. And then we have people today who are into those cultures or walks of life who don't know the actual storylines and are worshiping those same pharaohs that that turn themselves into gods. So, you know, back to our point again, when we say kings and prophets, we're not saying that, you know, we're not cutting down the actual royalty of anyone that were kings or prophets back in the days, but we're speaking of what our people, as far as the 12 tribes, which includes the African Americans, West Indians, all Western Spanish speaking people, and Native Americans, we're trying to tell you that the kings and prophets that we had, once we were ever in alignment with natural law and following the 613 laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, at that point we were so-called on top of the world as far as our nation didn't ask or needed anything. We were able to handle all situations ourselves, governmentally, as far as commerce and everything else, as far as spirituality. So as we know, something happened to allow this nation of people to fall into an uncivilized condition. And if we seek hard enough, we'll see exactly why. Imagine, we were told that we were always uncivilized and barbaric, but never took time to investigate if this was true. Or those of us who didn't know better still didn't take the time to analyze how a specific people that once were very much lawful and civilized could have lost that civility. Even when we find out that those who are now in control once were in a barbaric state, some of us still don't believe or put two and two together and realize that we were ruling at that particular time, and that we actually contributed to those who were once civilized by teaching them science, mathematics, commerce, government, masonry and building, architecture, and much more of the sciences. Instead, they believed false history, such as something like Negroids were always uncivilized throughout time until the 1700s, which is definitely false. And I would hope that by now most of us know these things. Although evidence exists in many books, including the most read book in the world called the Holy Bible, and when I say holy, we in a nation know that that is with a W, holy, W-H-O-L-Y, because this is the whole book. The book consists of the history, the actual government, the law, and how it, the whole world affected these people that were called the chosen people of the Most High. So if you go into other histories and into different cultures, you will not find a complete collection of everything as far as the whole world in their books. You will find a study of basically their history and a little bit of different, you know, cultures or nationalities wherever they intertwine, but it will not be complete. You will not find a complete log as far as bloodlines and a complete log as far as to the different interaction with different cultures or governments. And then the main thing is that you would definitely not find the predictions that are in this whole book. So Many people that are manipulated by society, still find it hard to believe that the main people that were written in this book are naturally dark-skinned to tan complexion, even after knowing their location near the equator. Speaking of the African Americans, West Indians, Western Spanish-speaking, and Latinos who make up the 12 tribes of Israel. This is why those people today cling to the scriptures more than any other group of people, but just don't realize that they have been taught Christianity by their oppressors. And the fact that we once had many great nations and empires. Yes, brothers and sisters, we had kings, prophets, and they were supposed to not only lead by example, but make sure our ancestors would uphold these laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. And I yield there, brother. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yes, sir, brother. It was very well stated, brother. Absolutely. Tada to you, brother, for that. Tada. And yes, sir. And when you're dealing with that, listening to that and contrasting it with what the brothers and sisters are pretty much paying attention with today, it kind of makes you, like, you know, kind of disappointed. And that's obviously what we come to understand as being the fall of man. Because if you look around today, with our, especially our youth, not so much of the individuals who are in a maybe 30-ish to 40 range. Sometimes in certain situations, it's usually that case, but more so toward the younger generation. The badge of honor is to be a hustler, to be a pimp or a street thug or a gangster. But the problem with all three of those particular things is that they're all straw men in one way or another. Like, my question is, what can a straw man, because a hustler or a pimp or a street thug, what can a straw man actually rule over? Can he even rule over his particular self? Does he know how to handle his affairs properly? Can he really honestly know how to get up in the morning and properly brush his teeth, wash his face, and do all the particular basic necessities properly doing it? Because as you come to understand it, I know the brothers out there, you know, getting a little bit more consciousness, you come to understand that sometimes you maybe have been doing it the wrong particular way. And the brothers and sisters definitely need to understand that and pretty much understand what those particular things mean. Do they properly have the temperament to conduct themselves in a governmental capacity? You know, because, you know, basically the hustler, you know, seen by the street people as being someone who's an entrepreneur. However, when you sit back and you really analyze it and think about it, it's not really true. If you're really pushing someone else's product, you still are an employee. If you are a salesman in an organization, basically you're pushing their goods and services. Even if you wind up being to the top hierarchy of, you know, being a drug dealer, you still have to get your product from somebody else and have a dependency on somebody else. You know, whatever you want to call it, some people call it in the streets, in the game, a connect. Now, if your connect takes a fall, what happens? You have to find a new quote-unquote employer to buy off of them, which puts you in a consumer particular stature. And that this dependency in itself puts you in a subservient status. However, you contrast that with the king. A king doesn't have to have a dependency on somebody else. He understands properly how to handle himself in government, law, and commerce without having to depend on anything or anybody outside of himself. So why not, brothers and sisters, learn how to become a king? Why not learn how to be able to properly, you know, manage and control your particular homestead? Why not operate in a particular proper sovereign capacity? Why not do these particular things for yourself, brothers and sisters, instead of emulating these particular individuals who pretty much don't even know how to handle themselves in the proper capacity? Like I pointed out, the article of one Fat Joe being sentenced to prison. You know, the brothers in the nation, we pretty much looked at the article, and we pretty much do it around. It's like we sit back here within this nation and wonder why. I mean, obviously he's in an incapacitated situation and, you know, improper mind status, state of mind consciousness, of course. But why is he allowing somebody else to take care of his particular affairs? I mean, you cannot really be the show and, you know, run the show at the same time. It's definitely understandable. But, you know, you have to be on top of these particular things in this particular situation. So I just wanted to bring forth that and just something for the, you know, the younger listeners to think about.
because nowadays it's really glamorous to really acknowledge these particular hustlers and pimps and things like that, because there is nobody in the homestead to really provide a proper example for the brothers and sisters. The sisters are pretty much looking at these hustler guys because they, in their limited scope and of understanding, they look at these particular brothers as being basically, you know, what would be equivalent to being a king in their own particular small, you know, mindset. So just wanted to bring forth that. I wanted to definitely always bring forth something for the younger generation to really sit back and think about. But more so also is for the older generation, you know, within the range of anywhere from 25 to 35 or going forward to elder status, you know. It's very important for us as individuals, especially as, you know, definitely individuals, but quote-unquote common language human beings, to be able to, you know, govern ourselves and self-govern ourselves. I mean, other particular species, other particular animals and things of that particular nature have a way of knowing how to be able to, you know, do what they have to do, get up and know how to hunt, get their own particular food, and do what it is that they have to do to survive. Like Brother Priest always says, if you sit back and you wait for somebody else to be able to teach you how to be able to survive, man, you'll be waiting a long time. So with that, brother, I will yield. Back to you.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you for that. And, you know, I actually, speaking of Fat Joe, I actually knew two fellas that I was involved in business-wise through music. They actually grew up with Fat Joe, so they know him personally, and there are some things that I could speak about that he did in his time coming up that he probably didn't get caught and locked up for, because I do know one of the partners that I was, actually both of the partners that I know very well personally, they spent time in jail for Fat Joe, you know, with the things that they were doing on the streets. And it's so funny because one of them claimed that Fat Joe was trying to hit on his wife while he was locked up. And, you know, at that point they lost respect for each other and they were at odds. So even though Fat Joe didn't spend time himself for the things that they were doing for him, it just happened to come back around and now he's going for something that he's supposed to be doing legal. You know, so that's just ironic that you mentioned that. And it's, and another thing is that those same guys that I was around in the younger days, you know, you used to hear people come around, because I used to hear friends of mine, oh, how much time you spend here and, you know, what jail you were in and, you know, the different things that they get away with in jail and different things. It was almost like they were getting cool points or some type of style to be in jail, you know. And a lot of the things that we glorify as far as, you know, people getting locked up and these kingpins and felons, outlaws, pimps and such, is so funny because a lot of the movies on TV and entertainment and the songs that these people put out there are glorifying these things. So that's why we have the younger ones coming right behind glorifying these things and not realizing that most of it is just entertainment. They're not really doing those things. But, you know, as far as the older ones, like you said, we have to actually govern our homes and govern ourselves and be able to guide our children so they don't fall into the same trap and glorifying these people and end up, you know, in a worse position than some of these people that aren't even doing those things or that stopped doing these things. So we just have to be careful, you know. And the glorification of vanity is just, you know, another thing that leads us astray, because right now we no longer have any leaders or kings to be governed by. So a lot of them are out there saying, you know, like you said, trying to make themselves kings and trying to rule their own destiny, but they don't realize that you have to answer to something or someone anytime. Unless you're with a body of people, and you still will have to answer to that body of people because they have to be a governmental organization together to keep the order. So a lot of us don't realize that we value the things, and the only reason why we value those things is because we are misguided. I mean, out of being uncivilized, the only thing you can do is value the things that are wrong or, you know, trying to be trying to go against those that are ruling you because you fell into a situation where they have to rule over you, you tend to want to be lawless, you know. And our teenage adult men, they think it's a cool thing to have spent time in jail, which is totally wrong, and someone has to change this, or, you know, a body of people have to change this. What some of us may not know is that whether they're pimps, felons, stars, or so-called just have a good job, they're recorded lawfully as bond service, like Brother explained earlier. Whether they're free or locked up, they're bond servants, which means, again, taxpayer. And we're not saying here in the nation that we, you know, are here to tell you that, oh, come over to the nation and you can get out of paying your taxes. That's not what it's about. When you live a certain lifestyle and you're under a different body of law, then those things are not for you, because tax, paying taxes is like tribute, and that is when you become a bond servant for a particular nation, you are their money, so you have to pay tribute in order for them to govern you. And you actually, let's take war, for instance. Most times, bond servants come out of being prisoners of war, spoil and booty, as we explained in other shows and as the other brothers explained it in other shows. Spoil and booty is the spoils of war. Well, that's the things that are left after you went in and taken over a particular nation. So whatever you don't kill or destroy, that becomes yours, including the persons, common language persons. So what happens is, if your nation, let's say they take over that land that they come into and destroy, they got to fix that land up if they want to keep it. So they use the bond servants to fix up that land. And if there's any natural resources in that particular body of land, what they would do is they would have the bond servants work the soil or work the factories and help that king or that leader, whoever took over, gain more commodities and, you know, finances through their export and import, and it's free labor. So today we have it a little bit in a more organized fashion, but it's still the same case. You're working for the estates of your past slave masters, and you're also working towards helping the nation of your oppressors grow, in a sense. Or if they do owe someone else, or they owe debt to someone else, you are their money, so you help them pay off that debt through your tribute and your taxes. While we're here glorifying all these things as far as entertainment and past leaders and such, we're supposed to be glorifying the Almighty alone and the laws that He has put here so that you could succeed in life. But if we keep on following the histories that someone may have put out there for you to follow a certain particular idolatry or spiritualism, you will never find your way out, and you will never become so-called free. So I just wanted to add that, brother, and I yield. If you have anything, you can go ahead and present it. Thank you.
So, you know what? I like to hear what the callers have to, say about what the topic or any input that the callers can bring forth. It's always good to get the feedback from the callers. So I definitely will go to the phone lines at this time.
Area code,
yes, sir.
347-728.
You're live on the air. 347-728.
Okay. Area code 612-369.
You're live on the air.
Shalom, Akiam. How are y'all doing?
Shalom.
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 Yes, sir.
This is Officer Bartholomew Ben Israel. Just wanted to commend y'all on the good work you're doing, and just wanted to tell you good job. And stay focused, and we appreciate your energy. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Yes. Officer Bartholomew, as well as Officer Nathaniel and Brother Lynn, they have a show, just for the record, for the brothers and sisters. If you want to tune in, they have a show at Friday. I believe it's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The brothers do a magnificent job, and you want to definitely check that show out. They really, really, really speak that government law and commerce, and they really toss it around the way it's supposed to be tossed around. So I just wanted to say that. That is the officer, second officer at large, Officer Bartholomew.
And we will proceed forward. Area code 502231. Live, you're live on the air.
Akiam, Sister Mother Yaruth from the tribe of Judah. I would like to say that the topic for today, from prophets and kings to bond servants and felons, is a very well on time a lecture and lesson for us today. When we look around and we see all the worshiping of different idols and so-called athletes, so-called kings and queens, we have to understand that the men of today, that's the role model for all of us, and the women. You know, we're looking at the men, and by this topic being on time, we also must reflect on the women as being a follower of her man. And you see the women of today, most of them are being locked up. Most of them are being abandoning their children. Most of them are wanting to dress and act like someone that they're not. And I find sometimes, most times throughout history, that if you try to be like someone, you have lost your identity or maybe never found it. And when we speak of the men and their roles, you know, the men are out here marking themselves and altering their hair and not knowing if they go to the scriptures, they will phenomenally see that these are things that are forbidden. And because they're forbidden, it was not only the law of the land, but it was the law of the Most High. And the law of the Most High was the law. So if you do these things by nature, you will come into a being like that, which you're not supposed to be. And one more thing, queens, the ones that say they're queens here, they really truly don't understand and know what a queen is. But when you speak of common language, which we are used to, we find out that hidden is the word queen, Q-U-A-N. And if you go, ladies and men, go look up the word queen. Understand what it means. It means someone who's overly forward, impudent, woman, shrewd, a hussy, and most times a prostitute. And this came from the British dialect. So guess what? We're not following our own tradition to know that we're going by something that we think we are, we don't know we are, and we haven't seeked to find out why we're the way we are. When you look at the word queen from a perspective back in the days when the kings had their queens beside them, that was a wife or widow of a king. That was a wife or widow of a tribal chief. That was a female monarch, a female chieftain, a woman eminent in rank, power, or attraction. So, gentlemen, brothers, Akiams, you know, if you start leading the way, or if you take up that cross and do the things you're supposed to do according to the laws of the land, according to the Most High, guess what? The women who look up to you, and we have not abandoned you because we could have, we still stick with our men. If you do that, then the women surely will shine as queens. And with that, I yield back.
Shalom, Mother.
Ima.
I love
Shalom,
it.
Ima. Yes, sir. Thank you
I
for that.
I love it. I absolutely. I'm just, my apologies, brother.
No, go ahead,
yield.
Brother. No, it's okay.
No, I'm, just,
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying I love the sister's energy. That is just for the listening audience. That is Mother Yaruth, and as you can listen to her, she always brings forth the wisdom, and she's bringing it, brothers, from a female perspective, letting you brothers know exactly what's going on and what you brothers should be going ahead and go doing. I just absolutely love it. I love every time the sister speaks. I love it. I just absolutely love it, and I want to give an honors to the mother. That's the mother of the particular nation, so. That is Mother Yaruth for the listening
Shalom.
Audience. Shalom, Mom. Brother Tajneh, I yield to you.
Yes, Mother. As we see, this is what we need as far as a people. We need the mothers to regain the knowledge that's needed, and that will guide the people, because we know mothers give birth to both men and women. So this is where the breakdown is as far as over the years. They have put fear in the mothers' hearts, number one. Number two, train them first before anyone else, because they are more attentive than the men are. So what they do is they train the women and they feed them with what is necessary to keep their offspring in the system. So the TVs, these novels, the different stories, and all of these things that the mothers are taking in, and also the entertainment with the stars. If you notice, there's mothers out there that are dressing their little infants, I would say. They could be 3-4 years old. They're dressing them like hoods or thugs. They're putting earrings in their ear that young. These mothers don't know that in the scriptures, the ones who get the earring are the ones that are the slaves and belong to the masters, just like a tag that you see on any stock, livestock. That's what the earrings were about in the scriptures. So if one of the scriptures in Leviticus, if the man came to a master and his time was up, because there's a certain time for each bondage that you're in, or slavery, whether it be as a nation, which is 400 years, or whether it be as a single individual, it's 7 years. And after that point, the master would ask you if you want to leave. And if he has given you a wife and you've had children, most of the time the men wouldn't want to leave, because that woman belonged to the master still, he would stay. And in order he would have to bring that man to the courts in front of the judges and bore his heir with an awe, is called in the scriptures. So as you see, these mothers don't realize, because they're being taught by entertainment and media, that by boring their children's ear, they're just re-signifying the fact that those children are born slaves or bond servants. So we need to take this in mind and realize that the only way to change society is through our women, because they give birth to both male and female. And with that, I yield, brother. You can go to the next caller.
Area code 904412. You're live on the air. Area code 904412. Okay. Area code 612246. You're live on the air.
Shalom, Mark, y'all. This is Officer Nathaniel Ben Ezra, foreign on the public record. How are you, brothers?
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, Mark. How are you?
All right, Mark. I'm good. I just wanted to, back to Brother Anton Gennaro on what he just said pertaining to these different cultural significances that we use to identify ourselves, and how they're complete and utter foolishness and simplicity. The brother spoke about the earrings and how it's a symbol of servitude, and to be exact, it's eternal servitude. Exodus chapter 21, and start at verse 5. But before I start, I want to just say that me and brother Elias, that's also in the nation, this nation, we meditate on this law day and night, just as we were commanded to do, by the one you call the Mashiach or Christ, or whoever you would like to call the brother. He told us that we were supposed to meditate on this law day and night. And we were actually going over this scripture. So, I just want to give applause to the brother Elias, and I'll read. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an ewl or ale, and he shall serve him forever. It's right on point. The subject matter is on point, brothers. Give you brothers, all the praises that you you definitely need. And, you know, we give all praises to the Most High in this nation. No man is an island. And, you know, as we say, man, you can't cut off the snake. You can't cut off the head of the snake of this nation. Because one brother will rise after another one falls, and it will continue. And just all praises to the Most High, and I yield, brothers.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that, Ak.
Thank you. Shalom, Ak. Shalom, Tada, Ak. Yes, that is officer, first officer at large, Officer Nathaniel. You can check him out and his brother and Brother Lynn on Fridays, like I indicated earlier, Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go ahead and listen to those brothers kick around the government, law, and commerce for the listening audience. Definitely want to encourage the brothers. You can see the brothers really precise with the scriptures. So I want to definitely give it honors and thanks to thanks to all of the particular callers that called in today and, you know, spoke whatever they had to say and things of that particular nature. Of course, I want to thank the brother Antagenaire for being on the particular call today and giving his particular his bringing forth his vast amount of knowledge on the particular subject matter at hand. And just definitely want to give high honors to the brother. You know, also another thing we want to pay attention to with regards to the word felon. Felon is an evildoer, a scoundrel, a traitor, a rebel, and also will be listed as being. So when you're committing these particular atrocities and things of that particular nature, you are pretty much an evildoer because you're transgressing against the law, which is what the brother had brought forth, which is what sin is. Sin is transgression of the law. So basically when you're doing that, you're basically evildoer, you know, transgressing the law. And some particular individuals prefer to be felons and love to stay in that particular mindset, which they will be eternal bond servants. So just wanted to throw that out there. And it's also labeled as one full of bitterness. So just wanted to bring that forth to the relatives. And with that little bit, I yield to the brother Antagenaire.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. And that's a good point. And it's, you know, basically what we're saying here is you can say whatever you are and you may feel it in your heart and in your mind or write it on paper or what have you, or the people on your block call you a certain thing, but you are what you are before you put it on public record. So in order to actually change from being a felon or a lover of vanity or the things that are basically wrong in the eyes of the law of the Most High, you have to actually change that within yourself to even say that you want to become a body of people under the Most High. So it's just something that, and we're not talking religion, we're not talking that false spirituality whereas magical things happen when you do this and that. It's just natural law, because when you know when you do something wrong, basically, wrong follows you. And I know Benjaminite, which are the West Indian brothers and sisters, they hear that from their parents and their grandparents. The bad you do, the bad you receive. The good you do, the good you receive. So they know exactly where this comes from. And it doesn't come from just Christianity or religions or such. It comes from someone actually paying attention to themselves, which is called self-science. And I'm talking about way back in history and realizing if they did something wrong, the result is something wrong. So, you know, a lot of people like to shun away from religion and shun away from the scriptures by doing that, thinking that they're escaping something. What they're trying to escape is accountability. You know, when you do something wrong, you have to own up to it, or you just don't do that wrong. And you won't have to reap the results or repercussions from what it is you have done. So basically what we're saying here, Tribes of Aboriginal Nations is here to help the brothers and sisters understand what it is they need to do to become what is called free as a verb. Not free as an adjective, which all the people out here believe that they're free, even those that are doing these sovereign tricks and mythology processes. they believe that they're becoming free, but what they're doing is they're binding themselves up even more. So it's a mentality, it's a state of mind consciousness that you have to be in and that you have to gain by learning self and by learning why things happen and are the way they are and what put you in the predicament that you're in now. So I just wanted to add that, brother, and I will pass it back to you. If you have any comments, I yield.
Absolutely, brother. You know, looking back on this whole topic, man, you know, it's definitely imperative to bring this forth to the to the listening audience, specifically the younger audience. Pretty much most of my shows, what I do, I come out here, I try to tailor to the younger audiences to have a particular, you know, somebody like maybe not so much in their peer group, but maybe just a little bit older to be able to, you know, pretty much pull their coat on these particular things or whatever the case may be, to pretty much let them know that you do have, you know, an older brother, a big brother to be able to, you know, be able to assist you in your progression. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to assist all our brothers and sisters in their progression in terms of the ultimate, you know, goal, which is to self-govern. So that's what myself and this brother are here, and also the other brothers that come on throughout the course of the week. And we want to also encourage, we want to also encourage, you know, the brothers and sisters in the listening audience to tune in tomorrow also, as well as Friday. The brothers, there's other groups of brothers that do speak on those particular, my apologies, I think it's Friday, Am I correct, Brother Antogener? It's Friday, correct?
Yes, I think there's a set tomorrow also. It's from, I believe it's from Wednesdays to Monday now. I think Tuesdays are open.
Okay, yes, sir. So we want to definitely encourage the, you know, the listening audience to tune in to hear more about this government law and commerce. We do it on a weekly basis. Pretty soon, we're also going to bring forth another particular project, which hasn't been, you know, finalized yet, but we're definitely working on it. We're going to bring forth a little bit more things to the listening audience that in the coming months or what have you, that we're going to bring forth. And, you know, it's all in the works as of right now. So we do definitely appreciate everybody who comes to the particular shows and listens to the brothers speak, and also giving your input and be able to speak on the show and letting us know what you think, your questions and things of that particular nature. We do appreciate it, and we want you to understand that this is for you, brothers and sisters. This is definitely for you. We come here to basically just pull your coat on this particular information, but it's ultimately for you. The ultimate end goal is for you to be able to go ahead and self-govern for your particular self. So, Brother Antogener, you can take us home, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. And if you want to hear these calls or the other calls that were just mentioned, you can listen on blogtalkradio.com/tribesofaboriginalnations. Again, blogtalkradio.com/tribesofaboriginalnations. You can listen to shows from this week, last week, and past Blog Talk. Also, if you want to get some more information on us, you can go to templeofthemosthigh.org. Again, templeofthemosthigh.org. And there's a lot of information in there that you can get, which will guide you in the right direction. And then you could call in or email wherever you need to from those sites. And I would like to sign off. Shalom. This concludes our blog talk. Thank you.
Shalom, relatives.